Jeff Jones from Arkansas State has had stops at Boise State, App State, Auburn, currently second tour at Arkansas State. Yeah. And then also what hit me as interesting was a high school and a Division III school. So what a wide range of experiences, which I think interns can benefit a ton from. I found about you from Michael Gregg at Harding University. Okay. He came out and spoke at our Big Country Strength Conditioning Clinic, and I don't know, it was just in conversation. He's like, "Coach, you gotta look into Jeff Jones, man. That guy's doing some amazing things over there." And when he says something like that, my ears perk up. So I began my journey of stalking you on the internet, and it was a successful stalking. Enjoyed your podcast. I'll Move the Needle. I was a little jealous. We don't have a 1080, so a lot of that, I was like, well, it's still interesting to hear. I really liked the one on the character. I think it was coaching to change lives, or it was a powerful one. It was very different than just your typical sets, reps. And then also ran across one with Justin Lima, which was more sets, reps, strength, conditioning.
Yeah.
But love everything you put out there. And I thought, why not reach out and see if he's willing to be our first guest, do a little strength condition and chit chat. And we're fired up. Can't wait to learn from you. And again, we appreciate you taking the time, and hope it's worth it. Definitely for us. And I know it'll build interns beyond Hardin-Simmons, people that want to get in this business. Minds like yours can certainly help guide their path and learn from lessons that are less expensive, because we learn from experience that you had. Having said that, I'm going to segue it to kind of the strength and conditioning topic with Blake Wilson. And then I'll pass over the mic as well.
First off, hey, thanks for that kind introduction and all those great things you had to say. Hey, appreciate that.
Oh, absolutely.
You hear me?
Yeah, I got you. Yep.
So I know that we texted about squat, but I had some other questions I want to start out with. I watched the video from Justin Lima on the Strength Condition Network about Power Complex. And then I watched the podcast between you two talking about it near the end of that podcast. I just wanted to ask, what point in your career did you shift from Olympic lifts to Power Complex?
Okay, so I would say I've loved the Olympic lifts maybe my first 5 to 8 years of my career. I thought they were solid, loved them, thought they're great. But then I've kind of had this obsession, like the way I coach and the environment we have, I want everything to be done with teach tape technique. And, you know, our coaching staff and our system here, we have a technique rating system. And I've just kind of had this deal about intentional training. And if we're going to do something, it's going to be done at the highest level possible. And we're going to demand intentional reps with everything we do. And then through my years of coaching the clean and the snatch and the jerk and all those things, you know, you see some issues with the wrist, the shoulder, the back. You see some athletes get injured. Then you hear stories. I hear some horror stories. You know, I've heard of NFL players losing careers because of cleans. And as I hear those things, I like to reflect and assess, like, what is always the best way to train, the optimal way to train an athlete. And then I kept coming back to the question, is cleans the best way to develop power while protecting your athletes in an orthopedically sound way? And I just came up with a conclusion in my mind, like, I don't think it is. I think cleans are fine. If you want to clean, that's great. But our system, our style, we believe in teach tape technique. And I want to protect our athletes. And when we look at the power complex, I just think, you know, I'll break it down for you real quick. Let's just start out with a basic power complex. We're going to do an RDL, 3x5. After RDL, 3x5, we're going to go over, do some weighted jumps with 20 pounds in each hand, 3x5, and we're going to track how high you jump, and you're going to chase a record. You're going to try to do it better than you've ever done before. Then after your 3x5, or after your 5 weighted jumps, let's go over to the depth drops. Let's drop off a high box and let's stick it. Okay, let's do 3x5 on all of those. That's roughly, so that's 15, 15, 15 total. That's 45 total reps. You guys with me right there?
Yes, sir.
For that power complex. And then let's add all of those forces. And I'm not talking about just your regular RDL. Hey, just, no, we're talking about do a nice hip hinge with a 3-second tempo. Stand up. Like today, I'm fired up. This 115 group, we have a really nice power complex where we're doing these band-resisted RDLs. And we're coaching the heck out of our guys to violently stand up and push the ground away and squeeze your glutes up at top, but finish with intent. We're not talking about just doing RDL and stand up. No, no, no. Violently, aggressively stand up and push the ground away like you're trying to produce as much force as possible. So that's how we coach RDL. And then those weighted jumps. Like, we're not just jumping. We're tracking and we're competing. It's intentional. And then we know about force plate data. One of the highest force producing movements is a depth drop stick from a high box. So once again, we add up all those forces. I'll take those forces compared to 5x3 hang clean at finish at 80% for a triple. Well, in my mind, that power complex is going to go a little bit quicker. Those movements are easier to execute with teach tape technique. Now, you guys don't have to agree with me on that, but I'm just saying it's easier for us to get a person to do teach tape technique on an RDL and then get them to do teach tape technique on a weighted jump and then get them to do that same amount of depth drop than it is to get 100 players to do teach tape hang clean reps. You with me on that?
Yes, sir.
So it all comes back to our philosophy. And our philosophy here is intentional training to build protection and improve performance that transfers to the field. That's our philosophy. In one sense, that's what it is. So, you know, the deal with cleans versus jumps and the power complex, it all goes back to intentional training. It goes back to getting them to execute the movements, the exercises with the best technique possible.
Yes, sir.
Was that kind of born at App State? Was that when you started to,
you know,
experiment with that?
That was actually born at Luther College, the Division III school I was at for 3 years. And just through experimentation, right, through finding just different ways, through force plates, through jump pads, tracking a lot of stuff, studying a lot of different things, that was kind of came about through those times.
What is the flow of it look like? Tell me more about, so if you're measuring the jumps, are you using jump pads or using force? How do you get the traffic at the 115 crew that's coming up to logistically move through that?
Okay, so for example, let's just say we got 3x5, we got 18 racks in here, we'll have 9 racks of RDL set up. 3 guys roughly per rack, they get their weight on, we're coaching up RDL. Like, we're on them about the tempo, about them exploding up. We only like to go a couple inches below the knees. And another thing I've had, you know, we don't need to get into that, the why we teach the RDL the way we do, but we go RDL, 5 reps, and then we run them down there. They don't walk, they don't casually stroll and foot drag and mouth breathe over there. No, you run over to the jump pads with a purpose. You grab those 20-pound dumbbells, we jump it. We attack it. Get up. Get as high as you can. A lot of coaches are there. Some of their teammates are there. Talk a little smack. Get them going. Saying maybe you can't hit these numbers or you don't have it today. Like, you can just, you know, just get some good juice going with them. And then after those 5 jumps, they just run over to the depth drops. They knock out their depth drops, run back to the RDL. We go in set 2. Let's roll.
And then you have different box heights based on bigs, mids,
yes, skills. Yep. Yeah, based on proficiency level, right? Some skill guys, some higher level skill guys can go even higher. Some big skill guys, it just depends.
And then it's 20-pound dumbbells across the board, or is that different based on groups too?
And it all depends on what metric or what record we're chasing. We have over, and this is what I like to talk to you about is with recruits is we have 3 pillars that I talk to them about, but one of those 3 pillars is the personal record. we're chasing records daily. We're always trying to do it better today than we did yesterday. That's like a huge theme in our program. We have over 50 performance records, 50 personal records from 10-pound jumps, 20-pound jumps, 30-pound jumps, one-step 10-pound jumps, stick-on-back jumps, depth drop jumps, normal vertical jumps. We have different Kaiser records. We have different records with the Vitruve units. We have all of these different records that we're always chasing and trying to set PRs and trying to ring that bell. That's a huge deal in our program. So to answer that question, depending on what day it is. On this example day, it's 20-pound jump. We track that height. We guys will have a number on that. They beat that number. They ring the bell. We mark that down in their folder. We put that in our database. 4 to 6 weeks later, we'll revisit that same number, see where they're at.
Do you have a sports science staff member that's running? That's a lot of data. How do you keep up with that?
Yeah, we have a lot of data. The staff, phenomenal staff. I'm blessed with a phenomenal staff. Like, I have absolute joy being around these guys. They are elite human beings, and we all kind of tackle the data entry, the data input. We have a sports science guy, Nick Brown, who does our GPS, but we all kind of help in that area of the metrics and the records.
And then, you know, curiosity about sports science, obviously D3, not as prevalent, but we have Brock here. Is a sports science person, is he just football, or is he with all sports at Arkansas State?
So the staff we're talking about, we're just football.
Okay.
So every, like, this staff is, we got six total. We are all football.
And then is he ever on the floor, or is it just straight sports science driven, or does he get on the floor and do some coaching as well?
Yeah, he's sports science driven, but he will be on the floor at times. Yep.
Okay. Awesome answer to that. Great, great insight. And then, Blake, did you want to follow up on the squad? I know that's a big one.
Yeah, if we have time, what I texted you about talking about, you know, I was stopping your social media pages. I didn't see a lot of barbell bilateral back squats. I saw you use a lot of Kaiser machines and a variation of split squat. What are some thoughts behind that? And do you do any other kind of variations of squats, squat movements?
Yeah. So, you know, I like to think of our program, myself, we're always evolving. We're always trying to grow. We're always trying to improve, trying to do things better. For a while there, we just didn't back squat. And, you know, I look back at that, I'm like, yeah, I mean, we were fine. We had some good results on that. But then I was thinking too, like, we could back squat. Like, we could implement that. I feel strong enough about our culture, our standards, our guys. And we do back squat. Now, we don't do it every phase. Here's what I'll tell you our philosophy with back squatting is, though. We almost look at that as more of a leg hypertrophy movement than we do look at it as a lower body max effort movement. If you're with me on that.
Yes, sir.
So, just for example, we have our G League guys, and our G League guys are our freshmen. So we're training all of our freshmen that signed with us in 2025. We got about 35 of them. So phase one, we front squatted them. Phase two, we're trap bar deadlifting them. And then phase three, we're going to get into back squat with these guys. And we do a lot of different things from our core programming through different progressions to get our guys to back squat. But we're going to slow cook them as well. And as we back squat, we will get numbers based off a front squat, and we'll do 120% of the front squat, and we'll percentage these guys, but we're going to use it as more of a hypertrophy movement.
Gotcha.
What are you using for your max effort movement if that's a hypertrophy movement?
Yeah, so, and here's how we look at max effort. There's a couple coaches that I really respect that have affected my philosophy on this and our programming on this. Love Jim Wendler. Think he's elite. Really respect Juggernaut. Really respect Dr. Mike Isratel. And a lot of their research says some of the best strength gains are made from that 65 to 85% rep range. And just manipulating the volume and intensities from that 65 to 85% range. So we spend our max effort work, whatever, we're rolling within that 65 to 85% range. But it goes back to our number one, our philosophy is it's intentional. We're crushing weight. I don't like a lot of sloppy reps or guys barely getting reps or grinding through it. We're going to do that every now and then. But I want guys crushing and dominating their reps. So our go-to max effort movements, we love trap bar deadlift. Love it. We love belt box squat. We love hand-supported split squat. We love two dumbbell RFE split squat. We love, for our skill guys, single leg squats with a wedge, loading it up to where guys have 50, 70, 80 pounds of external resistance for a single leg squat. Those would be our go-to ones. Our front squats, back squats, good movements. Those are more like leg hypertrophy movements instead of high force, max strength movements.
If you're in a time machine back in your D3 days and you didn't have handles on any racks or apparatuses, would you still feel comfortable doing it, hanging onto the rack, or would you find an alternative?
I honestly would hang on the rack still. I feel good about that. I've had this before where, and I had to coach this, the kids would put their fingers in the rack. I don't know why on earth you would do that. Like, just grab the rack and then you're good. But also I think the rack's fine because I don't think you want to be too reliant on the handles either.
Yeah. And then what was the belt squat? Can you talk more about that? You mentioned the belt box squat, I think, or what was it?
Yeah, we call the belt box squat the cheat code. And it's a cheat code because it's one of the highest force producing movements we could do. And we've tested all of them and it's really high and we love it. Our players love it. And it is, it's really cool because, you know, we do Kaiser metrics all the time, like Kaiser air squat. You know, you saw those Kaiser squat 200. That's been a staple since any player's gotten here. And it's really cool that we have guys our third year in our program and they're still PRing on Kaiser 200 when they've had many, many opportunities over the years. And a lot of the reason I think is, yeah, we do good power development work. The power complex plays a role in that. But I think our strength work also plays a role in having these guys continuously PRing on these Kaiser metrics.
You didn't have those in D3, did you? The Kaiser squat machine?
No. I would have loved it. They're mud. I mean, I love them.
Yeah. I'm jealous. I'm messing with you, but we got Kaiser here, but we don't have Kaiser squat.
Yeah. What's up, Kaiser?
But we awesome strength conditioning, kind of nuts and bolts, and then we'll kick it over to action for more intern insight, the business, how to, you know, things that aren't sets and reps. I guess some people talk about skills, but probably more important skills in moving up the ladder.
I was listening to a podcast and you mentioned four things that you look for when you're hiring somebody. Could you go into detail what those four things are?
I love it. That's a great question. I love talking about this. So earlier I was bragging about how good our staff is here. And we're a very connected staff. We love being around each other. We have very different personalities. But what's really cool for me too is to see how much our players love our staff and how they look up to them. And I'm very meticulous and I'm very critical. I try not to judge and I try not to be critical of our players. I want to coach our players. I want to be understanding. I want to pour into them. But when I'm looking to build a staff, I'm going to be very critical because you spend so much time with these people. And if you hire wrong or if you get the wrong person in there, even if it's just one person out of six, it can mess up everything. So number one thing I look for is high character. Just be a good person. You know, ages 18 to 22, our responsibility is to help our players grow as people first. And the better person you become, the better player you're going to be. But when you're looking for a coach to have that impact on the players, you don't want to be teaching a coach how to improve his character, or a guy taking a chance at a guy that has character issues. So number one, you got to be a good dude, high character, be a good person. Number two, emotional intelligence, having a high EQ. And there's five skills of emotional intelligence that are really important that we're into. The first skill is self-awareness. Second one is discipline. Third one is motivation. Fourth one is having empathy. And then the fifth skill of emotional intelligence is social skills. So when we look at EQ, we look at those five skills. All of those are critically important for connecting with others, for you improving as a coach, for you having a bigger influence and impact on the people that you coach and lead. The third thing we look for is passion. You have to love this stuff. And I just talked to the staff the other day, like I challenged them, can you have joy and passion in just seeing the most basic movement executed with Teach Tape Technique? Like, I have so much joy and excitement and juice when I see your players perform the most basic things done at an elite level, done with that Teach Tape Technique. And to me, passion isn't about, hey, I love to lift weights and I love to squat and bench and do all that stuff. That's great. But passion to me is, you have a passion for making a difference in other people's lives. You have a passion for showing up every day with energy, the right attitude, the right approach, the right approach to pour into others, like that type of passion. And we want everyday guys, right? We want our players to be everyday guys. So as a staff, we got to do that. And how you become an everyday guy, you got to be passionate. And then the fourth one is, you got to be coachable. You got to be willing to learn. You got to be open. If you think because you've read a couple textbooks or you got this certification and you know you got your deal down and you know all your stuff and you don't want to be open to different ways of training or just looking at things differently or keep on learning, we don't want that on our staff. We're always learning. We're always trying to find ways to grow. So when you put six people together that have those four qualities, yeah, you can have different personalities, but there's going to be a strong connection there. And you're going to have a lot of joy and fun when you're coaching. You know, the early mornings that you show up at 5 a.m. Yeah, there, it doesn't matter because we're all on the same mission here.
I'm curious, passion, like, how do you, you interview people, I interview people. It's a very subjective thing. Now, clearly, we're having this conversation, and I sense I can feel your passion when you're talking about passion. I guess, do you have an interview where you spend enough time with them, an hour, that you can, like this, you can feel that there's passion there?
People can fool you in interviews. We know that. We've been fooled many times, deep research, calling anybody that's ever connected or communicated with this person, trying to find everything out about them. Just doing your research beyond just an interview and calling multiple different people and maybe not everybody that's on their reference list either.
So it's not an interview thing. It's to call someone, like, hey, is old Jack, is he passionate at 5 a.m.? Setting stuff up when no one else is around versus an interview kind of thing.
And the passion is the one I've had to roll a dice on a couple times with the coaching, because I've hired some players that I've never coached yet. So I didn't know, we have no idea if they're passionate about coaching because they haven't done it yet. So there's a couple times I had to roll a dice, but I had to know a lot about them before we did that though.
Awesome. Sorry, actually, I just wanted
to... No, you're okay. one more question, just because of time purposes. You're the founder of RDC Training. Can you go into detail on what that means, what it is, and what made you want to start it?
Well, it's kind of a funny story there. I was going to do this at Luther College, when I was there, I was going to try to help out some high schools with writing programs and then doing videos and just kind of being a consultant to help high school kids get better trained, because you guys know this too. It scares the heck out of you how some of our high school athletes are getting trained. Does it not?
Mm-hmm.
I'm really passionate about this stuff. We need to protect our athletes. We don't need to be doing dumb things. We don't need to be getting athletes hurt in the weight room. We don't do that. Like, we shouldn't be doing that. And I see it happen too often. So the RDC thing was just a part of like trying to help out high schools structure programs with technique videos and just help them design better programs to protect and improve their athletes' performance.
And then, do you still do it, or is that D3 kind of?
That was more of D3, yes.
Yeah. No, I hear you. Anything else, Ashley?
No.
And then we got rapid fire kind of questions from Pfizer, and then I want to put it to time at the end. I have old man questions at the very end, time permitting. Pfizer, fire away with some rapid fire.
All right. Well, hey, Coach, how you doing?
Great, man.
All right. Well, I got one question. What kind of books would you recommend to interns or VAs or anybody just starting out in the business or anything, if you have any on the top of your mind or anything?
Yeah, I got two on my desk right here that I recommend. Number one is Arete by Brian Johnson. And then number two is Raise Your Game by Allen Stein Jr.
Raise Your Game.
I do a lot of reading, and those books I come back to a bunch. And when I come back to them, it seems that those have some of the most highlights out of all the books I've read. And there's a lot of power in rereading those as well.
Okay. Do you tend to read more like kind of self-help books for yourself when you're like coaching path or everything? Or do you kind of have like a healthy mix of like training books or?
Yeah. So like, I don't read as much performance training. I'll read a couple different things. I would say 80-20, 20% training, 80% mental performance, personal growth, leadership.
Okay. Well, sweet. Well, thank you for that. I've got one more question, I think, here. Is there a person in this whole business that you kind of looked up to, or maybe somebody that you just go to when you need advice or someone to help you grow even at this point in your career?
Yeah, I would say I've been really blessed through, this is crazy, I've been coaching for 20 years now, and I've been blessed to have multiple coaches, multiple people in my life that have cared for me, that have invested in me, that have impacted me. And without those people in my life, you know, obviously my family big time, and the coaches, you know, like Ryan Russell really sticks out, who's the head strength coach at Missouri, Tim Saha, when I was at Boise State, had a huge impact on me. And then there's been a lot of football coaches too that have impacted me a lot.
Sweet. Good, Kaiser. Couple old man questions. What did you take from your D3 experience? Like, where you're at now, you look back and say, hey, because it is a different world. What did that teach you to help you at Arkansas State, all these other stops?
Well, it's where I learned to be a better leader. And that's kind of where I learned, you know, I've been an assistant my whole career up until then. And then now you're the director, you're the leader. This is now your system, your philosophy. And I just, you know, I got really good reps in. I got great reps of becoming a better leader, a better speaker, a better teacher, and understanding culture and understanding how your approach affects everyone else. I learned so much from those years at Luther, and, you know, just the appreciation. And I appreciate every athlete, right? Like, I have such deep appreciation for Arkansas State football players. I absolutely love these guys. You know, the way, like, are they perfect? No, they're not, right? But I just love coaching them. We do hard things. We push them. We have high standards. our culture is different, but the way they embrace it, the way they're coachable, the how they show up, like there's just so much appreciation. But also at Luther College, appreciated all those athletes. And it was fun for me because I'm coaching everything, coaching basketball, baseball, softball, football, and just getting a wide variety of different athletes in there.
Yeah, it is. It is fun. There's never the same day. Every team kind of has a different personality. And I imagine being just with football, maybe there's some lighter moments with other teams you might miss from back in those days to kind of amp down and go a little parasympathetic for an hour and then ramp it back up. Last thing, man, interns, what one nugget, one piece of advice would you give ours and any intern out there?
Okay, here's what I tell you is I'll give you two things. You got to learn about training, but learn about mental performance and personal growth and leadership. You have to lead yourself first. And, you know, there's just so much out there that I had this talk with our athletes. We're taking them through this mindset book, our freshmen, and I got six guys in my small group and the other strength coaches, they got 5 to 6. And we're taking them through it. We're going over rep 2 awareness. And what I talked about at age 41, strengths and weaknesses, I got a lot more weaknesses at 41 than I did at 31, 10 years ago. But then you ask me my weaknesses at 21, I probably didn't have many because I was unaware. I lacked awareness. But try to speed up your awareness levels. You know, like ask people, what are the areas you need to improve on communication, on public speaking, on leadership, and be open to what they say. Really try to work your level of awareness, understand mental performance, understand leadership at a deeper level, understand communication and listening to your athletes at a deeper level. So that's the first part. And then the second part, I tell you, have like really high standards for how you train your athletes. Don't like lifting weights is, to me, that's not good enough. If we're gonna lift a weight, we're gonna lift a weight as good as we can. We will not waste a rep. We will not waste a day because everything we do is habit forming. And if we make a habit of wasting a rep or wasting a day, that's going to become part of who we are. So understand, like, the lifting the weights, how they execute, how they do those things, it goes deeper than just the physical. And we're really big into the mental here. And we are so intentional with how we coach every set, every rep. And when you do that, it gets really fun. Because I bet you guys have been bored out on the training floor at times. And I bet your mind wanders when you're on the training floor and you're coaching your teams. Well, it's probably because you're not intentional enough. When you're intentional and super present, and the only thing that matters is the technique, the details, the approach, the urgency, all those things. When you get into that and you're like coaching that, you're so present and the sessions go by so much faster than where, like, you're not present, you're thinking of somebody else, and people are, and your athletes are just lifting. Just lifting ain't good enough. So I'm going to challenge you guys, upgrade, and I'll challenge you, level up your coaching urgency, your standards for technique, and your presence being in every training session with your athletes.
Coach, I'm fired up, man. I don't know. They got my chili hot. They got me going and ready. You can definitely sense your passion. That was an awesome answer. Again, thanks so much for your time. I know your 115 crew is coming in, but definitely did not disappoint. Set the bar higher for whoever we have on here next. And I hope you guys get after Kennesaw State this weekend, Coach.
Hey, I